Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 3. Would you please? Revelation chapter 3. This is, of course, the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And, you know, we have Martin Luther's picture on the cover of our bulletins this morning and all that. And a lot of you kind of wonder what was that, you know, about? And why should we even think about that anymore? History is really strange in that a lot of people today just want to throw history away, and we can't do that. What happened? On October the 31st, 1517, reverberates to this very day. It set in motion probably the greatest revival of the Christian church in all history. The Bible ended up being printed, as Martin was telling us, in both German and in English, and it turned the world upside down. The church returned to the clear teaching of Scripture. Actually, the founding of the modern Western world as we know it. Incredible stuff. Martin Luther came forward for two reasons. And let me give you these two simple reasons why this little priest, who was a troubled guy, because of what he was struggling with. He came forward for two reasons. Number one, a church in Rome that was messed up. And there's a second reason that Martin Luther came forward, because Martin was messed up. Okay? Simple points. I want you to see a messed up church. You know, it's normal for God to call his people to repent and to change. And to come back to his clear teaching. Again, it's happened throughout history. If you look at King Josiah, king of Israel, when they're going through the temple, they find a copy of Moses' writings. They had lost the scriptures, even though they were going on with their religious activity. And the priest sends it back to the king and said, this was found in the ruins of the temple. He reads it and tears his robes and says, "We've gone against the living God." It was Nehemiah who called the nation of Israel back to repentance after they were exiled for 70 years back in 500 BC. It was the prophets of Israel that constantly called God's people in Israel back to himself, because we have this tendency to go beyond the Lord, to forget him. How many times in the Bible did the Lord says, listen, don't forget me? Jesus. What did Jesus do? He confronted the religious leaders that had perverted his truth so many times, and it was their motivation to want to kill him, even though it was in God's plan to save us. And then, of course, here in Revelation chapter 3, we see Jesus addressing the churches of that day. Back in the first century, through the apostle John, Jesus speaks to John and tells him, and for instance, just to get a flavor for this, Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, to the angel of the church of Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you're neither cold nor hot. I wish you were one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I'm about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and do not need a thing, but you do not realize that you're wretched and pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so that you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so that you can see. Those whom I love I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him, and he with me. Do you see this? This is the normal kind of thing. Well, back in the days of Martin Luther, he came forward. He came forward because of this messed up church. In the time that Luther lived, the Roman church had fallen under such evil leadership of popes, and you can't publicly talk about what was going on in the Vatican in those days. It was unspeakable evil, you guys. It was awful stuff. Money and power had become the focus of everything. In fact, as Martin told us, they were building St. Peter's. Now, St. Peter's had been just a simple structure that had fallen into dilapidation. It was in terrible shape, so they wanted to build this new, fabulous, what we see today standing in St. Peter's Square. And so what they did, they invented a new doctrine called purgatory. And they said that when you die, you go to an intermediate place until you do enough penance so that you can enter heaven. And so they said, if you'll give gifts to the church, if you give money in the name of your dead loved one, that those people will be released from purgatory into heaven. They said, one of the quotes, as soon as the coin lands in the bottom of the chest, your loved one's soul is released to heavenly rest. That was their advertisement on that. And it was shameless. You think those preachers are bad on late night TV trying to get your money? This is blatant stuff. There was also a thing called indulgences. This was called indulgences, but there's another type of indulgence. To where if you gave enough money to the church, it didn't matter what you did, you would be absolved of your sins. It was really, really bad stuff. So this whole idea, this huckster idea was pretty bad. They created these selling of indulgences. In fact, remember the movie The Godfather? Isn't it interesting how that's portrayed, and so much of it is from history and true, how that you could be involved in the mob and do what they do, but yet be absolved because you gave enough money to the church. So it was a real problem for Martin Luther. He couldn't stand it anymore. He didn't want, like Luther told us, he didn't want to create a revolt or a revolution. He just wanted to reform the existing church. He wasn't looking for wars or any of those kind of things, but reform really couldn't happen. He was brought before councils and eventually excommunicated for what he believed and what he wrote. Because of that, what was called the Protestant Church began. So when you have people say to you, why are there so many different groups of Christians? And by the way, within the Catholic Church, I have the dearest of Christian friends who love Jesus. And some priest friends of mine that I would allow to stand in this pulpit tomorrow and preach the gospel here because they do. But in those days, and in some cases in the Catholic Church, it's pretty tough. So Martin's reason was to bring reform and not revolt, and he was brought before these councils, and then it turned violent. There was a reformer in Zurich. His name was Zwingli. I've told you about him before. My brother is in that Reformed church, and we went to Zwingli's church, and interesting place. You know what they did to revolt? The church had created the whole idea of Lent and, you know, giving up certain things. And by the way, self-denial isn't a bad thing. I don't do it very much, but it's a good thing for you. You know, fasting and all those things are all good and fine. But when the church makes a law out of it, it's a real problem. You couldn't be right with God unless you fasted certain things at Lent. So you know what Zwingli and the boys did? They boiled up a bunch of sausage and ate it on the first day of Lent, and they got in all kinds of trouble. And swords came out and people died because of that thing. I told you when I visited my brother's church when he was pastoring in Harrisau, Switzerland, in the church that was built in 900 that went through the Reformation. I'm in this beautiful old edifice, and to the side is a side altar where they would usually put Mary, you know, and the whole worship of Mary thing was a problem too, but anyhow, because that's a pagan idea. But anyhow, the side altar was gone, of course, and there were these flat bars welded across to close it off, and behind it is this pewter container. So I asked him, what's with the pewter container? He said, that container contains the ashes of the first man the Catholic Church murdered on the street for preaching the gospel without church sanction. So it was violent and it was awful. By the way, some of the Protestant reformers became violent also. You need to read the history of it. You know, things go sideways a lot of times, and that's what Martin was telling us about. That happened too, but in Zwingli in Switzerland, William Tyndale, of course, Luther ran and was in hiding for years. And then William Tyndale, who translated the Bible into English, he ran and hid for years until he was in Brussels. They somehow tricked him into coming to to a meeting, and he was murdered at that meeting. He was executed, actually. John Knox in Scotland, a fiery old preacher. John Calvin, the French lawyer theologian who wrote the Institutes of the Christian Faith. I mean, incredible people came out of this, guys, and it's a great piece of our history, but the church was messed up. Now, we don't do this perfectly here either. But we want to do it as biblically as we can. Constantly, if you're reading the Bible, God is talking to you as an individual about things in our lives too. But the church was messed up, and it was an awful time. And so the Protestant church became what it is today. They were violently forced out. They didn't want to leave the Catholic Church. They were forced out of it. And so it was a messed up church. But the second thing is this. The other reason why Martin Luther nailed that 95 thesis to the door is because he had discovered some things. He was so messed up. Do you know, he, his whole life had become obsessed with his own sin, his own depravity of his own heart. And he was constantly doing penance, constantly doing penance. He would go to see his confessors daily. And the other priests who were going to be his confessors wanted to hand him off to somebody else because everybody else would come in for 20 minutes, 15 minutes. You know, forgive me, Father, I've sinned. And they give him a list, right? Another friend of mine, Maria, they went for confession, she told me. And I asked her if I could tell you this, and she said yes. Her husband goes in. He's in there for like 45 minutes, okay? She goes in next. And he said, he was a new priest. My dear, I'm sorry, I don't know. She goes, well, my husband was just in, but I'm his wife, I'm Maria. He said, George is your husband? Yes, Father. He said, you're absolved. You may leave. Seriously, that's what happened. So anyhow, I thought that was cute. Let me get back to my subject. So Martin realized how messed up he was. He would go on for 2 to 4 hours confessing every thought, every deed, in detail, and just drive the confessors nuts. And you might think that he was mentally ill. He probably was mildly bipolar. He probably was. But there was more to it. He was a brilliant attorney. That's where he had been trained. As an attorney, his father was so proud of him. Oh, he was going to be this doctor of laws. And then he got this need to be forgiven and entered the priesthood. And his dad all freaked out about it. He just didn't like it. Wanted him to be this big prestigious lawyer. He had the mind, but he had the heart of a Christian. He knew law, and he knew that the law of God could not be changed. And so he did everything within his power to do it right, and he couldn't do it. He was absolutely desperate. One day, he's doing penance on his knees, going up a set of stairs there in Rome. And those were the steps they had brought in from Pilate's judgment hall, the very steps that Jesus had walked up before his crucifixion. He's walking up them, doing his penance, and into his spirit, the Holy Spirit says, the justified will live by faith. And he stood up, and he went back to the scriptures. And he had discovered that the law of God was only there to show us that we were lost, but that earning our own salvation was never possible. And Martin was messed up, and because of that, he puts the thesis on the door, and he comes to this conclusion. If you'll turn with me, please, to Romans. This is a wonderful, this is the verse that came to his mind when he was there on his knees. I'll read you verses 16 and 17 of Romans chapter 1. I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes, first to the Jew and then to the Gentile. For in the gospel, a righteousness from God is revealed, a righteousness that is by faith from first to last. As it is written, the righteous will live by faith. One of his statements is this. The key to salvation was not to approach God with our good works, whether it's an ethical good work in culture or religious work, you know, or ecclesiastical, you know, doing religious stuff. But it is that God approached us sinners with the gift of his grace and free forgiveness through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And his life was transformed. The church had come to believe that they had the power to forgive who they chose. That the organization had the power. Do you understand the church of Jesus Christ is not centered in Rome? And it is not centered in an organization. The Church of Jesus are the believers in Jesus, you and me, across the world and across the ages. We make up the body of Christ. It's an organism. It's not an organization. And no church in Rome or Detroit or Cincinnati or anywhere else has the power to forgive sins. Only Jesus Christ has that power through his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. And if you attempt to approach God with your own good works, it's only filthy rags, and it will not amount to being forgiven. It'll just put you deeper into darkness. So today, 500 years later, the church has become an institution again. I mean, you have to have, you got to have an organization, right? I mean, it's good to be organized. It's good to do it that way. You know, we have to take care of things. We have a place we need to meet. You know, we have pastors that are taken care of and staff, and we're grateful for all of that. But this isn't the church you are. You are. And today, if you think that you have forgiveness from God because your name is on a church membership list somewhere, or because a pastor or a priest sprinkled water on your head when you were a little child, that doesn't absolve you. That doesn't make you a Christian. I think the whole idea of dedicating our kids to the Lord is a beautiful thing, whether it's used through baptism or whatever. You know, we believe that baptism happens for a believer after they choose Christ. That's when we baptize you. But if you think you have forgiveness for any other reason other than Jesus Christ and his death on the cross, you're lost and you're blinded by that. And it's time for you to wake up, come to your senses, and trust Christ. I love Martin because there wasn't arrogance here. The church was messed up, and so was Martin. And he found the answer he wanted to share with everyone else and all these others throughout history that have. So we're not here today to be a judgment on the Catholic Church. We're not here to demean our brothers and sisters that worship in those places. But we have to remember what happened in those days was that nobody read the Bible. It was Martin Luther who translated the New Testament into German. My brother uses that translation every Sunday. And then we have William Tyndale who translated the scriptures into English. Everyone started reading the Bible. They were smuggling them into England. When William Tyndale was in Europe hiding, they printed those Bibles and shipped them over. Turned England upside down. Well, we're in the same place today. For some reason, we have Bibles everywhere. We have Bible apps for our phones and our tablets and our computers. But very few people are actually reading the Bible. We're talking an awful lot about religion. I'm calling us back, all of us back, to the scriptures now. Let's go back here. Let's live here, and let's live in that wonderful history that we have of that great Reformation 500 years ago Tuesday. Let's stand together to pray. Come on, stand up with me. Lord Jesus, here we all are, and we're not saying any of this to judge anyone except ourselves today. Lord Jesus, we offer ourselves to you and ask that you would keep us in the way and that we would not depart from our first love, who is you. Lord, we ask that you would revive us as a group, as a community church in our area, not just us, but all of our brothers and sisters in this area. We ask that you would revive our nation and our world. Lord, we don't see it, but we thank you for the church in those hidden countries of China who cannot openly practice their faith, and yet it's growing like wildfire. Father, we think of the wonderful blessings that you've been to us, and we thank you, and we ask that we'll be faithful to you. And that you would help each of us. Father, some of us have been blinded by our religious past, and I ask that you would help us to throw our religiousness away and cling to the living Savior. Thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.